It's Tuesday, the 22nd of March, 2016. Happy birthday to Eddie Tavares. Fantasy Basketball Monster Show brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Daquarius J. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to sponsor the podcast like Daquarius J, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become a sponsor of the show. So thank you to Daquarius J and everyone else who has done that this season. Of course, Moneyball's been with us the whole way through as well. So if you're living in Australia or New Zealand, Moneyball is the best site you can go to play your DFS contest. So why don't you go across there, set some lineups, and hopefully win some cash. If you are watching this show on YouTube and you're watching along live, feel free to tweet any questions or comments you have through to my Twitter handle, which you can see on the screen at redrock_bball. And if you are watching along live, I don't know, there'll be many people watching live. It's quite early in the morning stateside at the moment, but some of you guys in Europe and in Australia might be tuning in. If you've got any questions live and want to ask them, use that Twitter handle. It's the best way for me to see it. The little notifications will pop up on my screen as I'm doing the show. We've got a fair bit to talk about, as per usual. Playoffs are in full swing in, hopefully, all fantasy leagues. If your league isn't in playoffs yet, then I do urge you to really change that for next season. But most should be in their playoffs now. Lots to talk about, so
let's get to it.
Oh, Michael Bolton, you always keep me on the right track. Let's look at our Facebook and Instagram contests from Monday. On Instagram, we're looking at Jan Mahinmi. How many combined points, rebounds, and blocks? Jan went for 23, and nobody got that one right. It was a similar story on Facebook, where we're looking at Jim Butler. How many combined points, rebounds, assists, and steals? Jim went for 27, and nobody got that one right either. So we double down. We go over to Instagram for Tuesday. Cody Zeller combined points, rebounds, and blocks. And on Facebook, it's Enes Kanter. How many combined points and rebounds? So leave your answers on those respective social media sites. And if you get it right, you can hear your name shouted out on the podcast. Let's get to the monstrous line of the night, though. And I talked about this yesterday and said that he is in for a pretty decent showing. I think going up against the Warriors, who allow some pretty nice numbers to opposition point guards, he was a sneaky DFS guy. Our projections over at Basketball Monster really liked him. And he came through with the goods, and that is Rick Rubio, who put up a massive game, really. 33 minutes for Rubio, 20 points, including 3 triples. He had 4 rebounds, 11 assists, had 4 steals, 1 block, and you get the massive Rubio bonus of 5 of 9 from the field, and he hit all 7 of his free throws. Really a massive game from Rubio. He is extraordinarily underrated as a fantasy player and as an NBA point guard. People are very quick to write him off, but there's pretty much no denying that he makes his team massive, massive amounts better when he is on the court, and when he's off, they struggle. He is one of the best defensive point guards in the NBA. He's potentially the best passing point guard in the NBA. Maybe Chris Paul has that title, but he has been incredible yet again, and his fantasy value is really, it's really underrated. He's ranked 34th for the season. In the last 2 weeks, he's ranked 15th, and if you do as you should do with Rubio and punt field goal percentage, you are talking about a close to a top 20 player. And he's one of those guys who was talked about in the offseason. I'm not drafting him. He's injury prone. And I was very much against that because he wasn't injury prone. He had like 2 injuries in his career. They just happened to be ones that lasted for a massive amount of time. And that's unfortunate. Bradley Beal is injury prone. Anthony Davis is injury prone. And yeah, that's got nothing to do with that soft talk that I had yesterday on those guys. Rubio isn't injury prone. He had 2 massive injuries and it caused him to miss a lot of time. And he's been, you know, he had a couple of ankle problems at the start of the season, but he's played 64 games. He's going to go over 70 this season. He's really good. And I'll leave it at that. He's averaging 8.8 assists this year, 4.3 rebounds, 2 steals. He's shooting 85% from the line. And yes, he's shooting 38% from the field, but we need to dig deeper into that. Into the last month, Rubio is 44% from the field. The last week, 58. The last 2 months, 41. He started off the season horribly, but as Sam Mitchell has actually done the right thing and played Rubio together with the best players and played that lineup together and got cohesion happening, he's shooting better. And if he keeps himself at 44%, that's awesome for what he can do. And from a fantasy point of view, it's magnificent. if he goes back to the 30s, it's not ideal. But this last month has been really, really interesting with Rubio, with that field goal percentage right up there. 44% is fantastic for where Rubio has come from. He hasn't shot 40% in a season ever. He probably won't shoot 40% this season, but to come home strong, and to come home with a high field goal percentage like this, it's really something to build on. Not saying his shot is fixed or it's not broken or anything like that, but you know, he's doing a lot better. He's averaging 1.3 triples a game in the last month. That's impressive for him as well. He's a half a three a game guy in previous years in his career. He's looking very, very good at the moment, and he's fitting in well with this young core. And if they trade him, I think it's a massive mistake to trade Rick Rubio. I'm a huge Rubio fan, as you probably know by listening to this podcast. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Jeremy Lin of the Charlotte Hornets in a miraculous performance from Jeremy Lin and the entire Charlotte Hornets team. They were down 28-7 at the end of the first quarter. That is as big a pantsing as you'll see in one quarter of basketball. This was against the Spurs. There's no coming back against the Spurs when you're down 28-7, is there? Apparently there is, because the Hornets came back and they were victorious. Lin had 29 points in 31 minutes. He hit 4 triples, had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal on 11 of 18 shooting. Now, what do you do with Jeremy Lin? Do you go and add him? He would have loved to have added him before this game, but nothing is really standing out to me and going, he has to be owned. In a 14-team league, yes. In a 12-team league, in certain situations, you want some scoring, who'll give you some okay assists, some okay threes. Yeah, you might look at Lin there, but by no means is he a guy that I'm thinking, oh, you know what, Lin's going to play 31 minutes in the next game, and he's going to have a big night. It coincided with Kemba Walker struggling, and Lin got hot, so they went with him a little bit more. So I don't think that it's entirely replicable, but I think, like Rubio, Lin is a very underrated player, and he can be a serviceable player in the NBA, and he's going to have an interesting time of it next season in free agency to see where he ends up going. But that's obviously some nice numbers from Lin in that last game, and his last week has been all right. He scored 14 points a game, 4 rebounds, 1.5 threes. That's where the value is going to come. He's going to give you some threes, he's going to score, but it's very up and down. And it's not something I'm going to be relying upon throughout playoff matchups. A guy that I am pretty confident you can rely upon. No, not pretty confident. I am absolutely confident you can rely upon. Karl Anthony Towns of the Minnesota Timberwolves, who is your young gun of the night yet again. 24-11 for Towns. He hit a triple. He had 2 assists. He blocked a shot. He went 11 of 19 from the field. What more can you ask of Karl Anthony Towns, who is a top 20 player on the season? He is still in the last 2 months. He's a top 10 guy. He is putting up just ridiculous numbers. His last week, his last 3 games, 25 points, 11 rebounds, 1 block, 1.3 steals, 59-83. This guy is going in the first round next season, and you don't need me to say much more about what Karl Anthony Towns can do. He is putting together an historic rookie season. I can't wait to really break into it at the end of the season when I do my post-year reviews on teams and players, but he is putting together just a remarkable year. Someone whose year hasn't been quite as remarkable, and that is the Dud of the Night recipient, and that is Kyle Korver of the Atlanta Hawks. Korver played just 19 minutes. The Hawks were beaten pretty comprehensively by the Wizards, and someone's always going to be a threat to lose their minutes with the way that Tim Hardaway Jr. is playing. The other day, it was Kent Bazemore, and Bazemore barely played here either, and Korver copped it as well, as they went with the two guys who are actually hot. And what an odd sentence this is in Atlanta. The two wing players who are hot are Tim Hardaway Jr. and Thabo Sefolosha. So Korver had 3 points. He hit a three, he had a rebound. He is nowhere near a must-own player. He's at 84%. You're in the playoffs. His spot is very... It's not negotiable. His spot is streamable. He has to be dropped in a standard league. In a 14-team league, I'd even argue that his spot is streamable in that sort of a format. Yes, he can hit threes, but you need to get games in. You need to work the waiver wire to your team's advantage to take apart your opposition's weaknesses. And Korver is not going to do that. He's not going to produce at a high enough level where you have to hang on when shit like this is going to come out a lot of the time. You need to move on from Korver, and you need to just use that spot to fill in categorical needs. He's owned in 84% of leagues. I'm hoping that most of those aren't in the playoffs, but 84% is just way too high given the season that Korver has had. It has not been a good one. He's ranked outside the top 120 for the season, outside the top 160 over the last 2 months. He's averaging single-digit points. He's a full three-pointer less than last year. His block numbers are down. His field goal percentage is down. His free throw percentage is down. Like, big percentages as well. 5% from the field. 8% from the free throw line. These are big numbers. Less rebounds, less assists, less threes, less points. Everything has dropped considerably, and there is no point in owning Kyle Korver in your 12-team leagues. And as I said, even a 14-team league, I reckon it's a bit of a stretch to continue to hold Big Kyle. Let's look at the perfect DFS lineup from... that is the complete wrong picture. Wow. Let's try that again. What is going on? There we go. Gee, that was terrible. What a complete tire fire that was. Let's go. If you guys not watching on the... if you guys listening and wondered what I just put up, instead of putting up the perfect lineup on the screen, I put a big picture of the title picture of Ricky Rubio's head. So apologies for that. Let's get into the perfect lineup. Johnny Wall at point guard, 51.6. He is on a massive tear at the moment, and beautiful for the people who own him in standard leagues as well. He is pushing the Wizards strongly, and they are responding. Rick Rubio at 45.3. The shooting guards, Jeremy Lin, 39.4. And Victor Oladipo just crushing at the moment, 43.1. The Skiles trust factor is still an issue, but in tournaments, you almost have to play him. But I imagine his salary is going to jump pretty significantly. LeBron, 59.7. So much weirdness with LeBron this season. So much social media weirdness with LeBron. It's just, you've seen it. You've seen the issue with him, you know, unfollowing the Cavs and unfollowing Cavs commentators and broadcasters and sideline reporters. It's all very weird. And then when he gets asked the question in the post-match interview, which I tweeted out today, where he gets all flustered and confused and then cuts his scrum short, it's all very weird from LeBron. He'd been a little bit down in form lately. His price was super appealing, but you have to look at what's happening here with LeBron and his production. But he's always, when he's at 9,500, which he's a great tournament option, but his cash game reliability wasn't great. 59.7 for LeBron. Otto Porter at 38.5. He turned around that stinking February and turned it into a pretty solid March. Power forward, Draymond, 51.8. And John Lua out of the ashes, 34.6 for John. That is not something we could have predicted, nor would I have ever put my life on Tim Duncan putting up 42. He sat most of the game against the Warriors, came in this one against Charlotte and put up a vintage Timmy Duncan performance. That lineup would have gotten you 406 FanDuel points, which would have been pretty significant. That's it. Let's take a short break, and then we're going to be back to talk about all the games that went down on what day? Monday, that's the day. All right, we can see these box scores up on your screen if you're watching along now, watching along live. Let's get to the... Wow. Now, before I get into these, someone just sent in a beautiful tweet. Jack Clegg. This is brilliant because, as you've seen, I've named the podcast Ravishing Rick Rubio, which I hope you're all aware is one of the best wrestling heels of all time, Ravishing Rick Rude. And Jack Clegg has... I'm laughing at this. What I'd like to have right now is for all you out-of-shape DFS sweat hogs to look in awe at what a real stat line looks like. Jack, that is brilliant. If I had a practice that I would have had beforehand, I should have done that, had the Rick Rude music and said it in the Rick Rude voice, because that is brilliant. I'm going to retweet that right now, Jack. I'm a massive fan of that. Or maybe I'll come back to it later on and work on my best Rick Rude impression when we have the break with the song on. Maybe I'll come back and do that later. But that is fantastic, Jack. Thank you very much. I have retweeted your beautiful comment, and that's what happens when you interact with the show live. Let's get back to the games now. Not get back to them. Let's start them. We haven't started them yet. The first one was the Denver Nuggets and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Will the Thrill Barton, out of nowhere, 26 minutes... 27 points, 4 triples, 4 rebounds, 1 assist and 2 steals. The worrying thing there is still the minutes are restricted for Will. He got hot and went 9 of 12. This is not realistic. He is not a good shooter, and he will not shoot 4 or 5 from 3 on most nights. So this looks good, but I imagine that it's going to be dropped down. He won't be this good. I think that's fair to say. Daniel Charles just asked, no question today. No question today, Daniel, but I am going to be looking at a nice live listener stat question in the next couple of episodes. Barton, he's fine. If he's on your waiver wire, maybe add him. But the track record over the last 2 months is actually who Will Barton is, in my opinion. And you've heard me talk Will Barton plenty of times. These hot shooting nights are not commonplace for him. Well, they hadn't been up until the first 3 months of this season. Yusuf Nurkic is really starting to look like Yusuf Nurkic again. 11 and 7, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 3 blocks on 5 of 7 shooting. He is going to be a very interesting name to watch as we head into next season, because he is a tremendous fantasy contributor if he gets the playing time. The problem is Nikola Jokic is there now, so how is that going to play out? I would love to see them play together more. I think that Jokic can play at the four some as well. Jokic had 23 minutes. He went 11-4-3 with 3 steals, so still a nice night from him. Do you go and add Nurkic? I don't think that you do unless you're in a deeper league, because he is so up and down. The knee still bothers him from time to time, and he still has issues with Mike Malone. But when you know he's going to play minutes, then production's going to come. Except I don't think there's been one time this season where we've gone, you know what, this is time for Nurkic to play minutes. It's going to work out. It's just been random, and then he puts up big numbers. And we know that he can do it. Gaz Harris, 11 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 steals. Solid, not spectacular. While DJ Augustine went 8-2-5, and I still think that Augustine is a really solid guy to own, but when we're talking streaming, we're talking playoffs, he shouldn't be locked onto your roster. There was no Ken Fareed in this one dealing with that back issue. I reckon I'm going to be saying that plenty of times through the rest of this season as he misses more games. Emmanuel Mudiay really stunk. 5 points in 26 minutes, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 1 3. But the killer there is the 1 of 11 shooting from the field, going 9%. That is horrific. Horrific turnover. Not turnover, horrific conversion. He hit one shot, at least it was a 3. His turnovers have been rectified, only 2 of them there. But with DJ Augustine around, he is going to have nights like this. And when he's not on, then he is going to play limited minutes. I still think that if you're owning him, you continue owning him because you're aware of the pitfalls of owning Emmanuel Mudiay. But if he's sitting on your waiver wire, you don't just add him haphazardly. Interestingly, in the Red Rock Roto League yesterday, someone dropped Andre Drummond, and they'd been holding him all season. And I was thinking, do I make a bid on Andre Drummond? And I did, even though my free throws were pretty high, because I just think the damage that he could do in free throws over the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks is probably not going to be enough to cost me points, and maybe the rebounds really push me up. But you really have to make those decisions in Roto and in head-to-head leagues as to whether the guy is going to hurt more than help. Joffrey Lavigne had 9-4 in his 19 minutes. He's barely a fantasy contributor. And Darrell Arthur, who started in place of Ken Fareed, didn't do a lot. 4-5-3, played 27 minutes, but he's just as likely to go for a massive line in the next game. On the Cavs, LeBron, 33, 11-11 with a triple. 12 of 19 from the field is brilliant. 8 of 11 from the free throw line, not so great, but a big night from LeBron. A controversial night, obviously, with all that Twitter stuff that we talked about earlier. J.R. Smith turned in his hot performance, which we have barely seen at all. 15-4-5, 3 threes and 4 steals. This is exactly what JR can do. He has these nights of big threes, big scoring, big steals, decent assists, but then he goes and does nothing for big stretches, and that's what we've seen for him from a big chunk of this season. Now, I think that with Kevin Love out, it enabled him to get more involved with this team, and I think that's something we really need to pay attention to, is that when Love, Irving, and James are all playing, maybe Smith just gets left behind a bit. He is not a must-own player. He can be a pretty good source of threes. He's averaging 2.6 per game this year. He's a nice guy for steals. And that's really about all he's providing at this point. So really have a look to see whether he fits what you need. With Love out, they started Channing Frye next to Tim Mozgov. Mozgov went 9-4 with a couple of steals, and Channing Frye hit another 3 triples and went 14-3-2 with a block. Frye is a great threes stream guy. Tristan Thompson, only the 22 minutes, 8-7, but added 2 steals and a block. I would have liked for him to get 35-plus and pull in some big rebound numbers, but it didn't happen. Kyrie struggled. It was a blowout. They won by 30, so he only played 24 minutes, 8-2-3. On 4 of 12 shooting, he will be a lot better than that, obviously. And Iman Shumpert had a triple one, going 5-4-4 as well. And not much else to talk about with the Cavs. The Philadelphia 76ers and the Indiana Pacers, a pretty comfortable victory in the end for the Pacers. Hollis Thompson, 15-6, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 3. With Bob Cove back for the next game, I don't think that there is any real point in adding Hollis Thompson. Isaiah Cannon, he got another 3 triples, 15 points and 4 rebounds. That is exactly what you want Cannon to do. He will probably lose some shots and some playing time when Covington returns, so by no means is he a must-hold, but he is one of the best streaming options for three-pointers. As I've mentioned plenty of times on the show, I think he's a top 12 guy in three-pointers made per game this season, and sort of a name that really sort of sticks out amongst the other guys that are there. Jeremy Grant, 14-4 with a block. Yeah, that's all right. He is not a must-own guy, but he can solidly be on a roster. Nerlens Noel, 8-8. That's a real stinker for him in 25 minutes. He had some foul trouble there. And Ish Smith, speaking of guys killing your field goals, 2 of 15 for Ish, 4-9-4, and added 3 steals. So he gave you numbers in the other areas, but not a good shooting night. Nick Stauskas, 4 points. He struggled. Sonny Weems had 5 points in his 16 minutes. And Carl Landry, off his big game, was okay, actually, 4-7 with 2 blocks in 22 minutes, but got that extra run because Noel was limited in what he can do. The Pacers really struggled as well. Paul George, 15-6-3 with 2 triples, 4 of 16 shooting is brutal. Miles Turner, a big game here, 10-6, 2 steals, 3 blocks, 5 of 9, only 26 minutes, but if he's available, he looks to be riding the ship, so to speak. He's not putting up monster lines, well, that's pretty monstrous, that one, but he's good enough. Jan Mahimi, 12-10 with a block. George Hill, 12-4-4. Solid number. But Hill's another guy who's a borderline ownable guy. Monte Ellis, 13-3-5 with 2 steals and 3 triples. 3 triples for Monte Ellis is as good as it gets, really. He does not provide that. Ty Lawson was back for his second game for the Pacers. 15 minutes for Lawson. 6 points, both from deep three-pointers. 2 rebounds, 2 assists. That's what you're going to get. He's going to play those 15 minutes, maybe get up to 18 or 19, and it's not going to be useful. Rod Stuckey still at 18 minutes. Solomon Hill lost most of the playing time with Lawson back in the rotation. And Jordan Hill went 6-6 and LaVoy Allen 2-5 in 17 and 19 minutes respectively. The Spurs and the Hornets. Tim Duncan, 16-10 in 31 minutes, 2 steals and 4 blocks. That is a huge performance from Duncan and something that we haven't really seen from him for most of this season. He's owned in 86% of leagues, so I was going to say don't be overly fooled and going add him off your waiver wire, but he's not on your waiver wire apparently because everyone still owns Tim Duncan. For what reason, I've got no idea. If he was on my waiver wire, I would not be running to grab him because this does not feel like he won't play 31 minutes all that often. Tony Parker played 36 here, actually, 19-5-7. He had a steal, 2 blocks, and a 3. I would much rather own Parker over Duncan. And LaMarcus Aldridge went 18-12-5 while Kawhi had 15-6 with a couple of steals. Danny Green, he was brutal, 0 of 7 from the field, 2 points. He had a steal and a block, not his best night. Well, Dave West, Manu, Kevin Martin, Boris Diaw all did a big bunch of nothing off the bench. On the Hornets, Courtney Lee, 17 points, 4 steals, a 3. He is so hard to read for fantasy because that looks great, but then he'll go and have 4 points. He's fine to add as a non-percentage killer three-point guy and who can get some steals as a streaming option, but I don't think there's any point in holding on to him long-term. Nick Batum, 15-6-3 with a steal and a block. Solid, unspectacular. And Cody Zeller, exploding lately. 5 blocks the other day, 14 boards here with 6 points and 3 assists. 29 minutes, he is the starting center of this team. There is zero doubt. And you all, I am sure, see that now. Al Jefferson went 1 of 9. He had 3-6-2 with a block. He is not worth owning. Kemba, only 30 minutes for Kemba because he was shooting 2 of 11. He was struggling and Jeremy Lin was red hot. He went 6-1-2 with 2 steals while Marvin Williams is struggling at the last couple of games. 2 points, sorry, try again. 6 points with 2 triples, 2 rebounds and 2 assists for Marvin in his 22 minutes with Marvin Williams struggling and dealing with an ankle issue. Frank Kaminsky played 26 and he had 5 points. Orlando and Boston. Vic Oladipo, just on fire at the moment. 25-8-1, 1-3, 5 steals, and 1 block. This is exactly who I thought Victor Oladipo could be to start the season, and then I was completely cut down by what the bullshit that Skiles was pulling, but Oladipo is coming through strong at this time of the year. If you owned him, you hopefully were patient enough and held on. If you didn't own him, hopefully you targeted him as a great buy low option because it is paying you back massively. And I think that I'm hoping that Oladipo can lead me to a championship in the league that I own him in because, he's going. And you would have seen probably at the start of the season, I tweeted out an auction team that I had, a 10-team auction in my home league. It's the one that I'm going for a three-peat in at the moment. It was an auction league, and the most money I spent on a player was on Eric Bledsoe. So I went very much, I didn't take any studs whatsoever. I went a very middle ground approach, but I got Bledsoe. I had Kevin Love. I've got Oladipo. I had Al Horford. I had about 5 guys ranked between 20 and 30 in that sort of range. And then I lost Bledsoe, the guy I'd paid the most money for. pretty happy with how the team's worked out. And Oladipo is the guy who's really carrying things at the moment. Aaron Gordon played 29 minutes, so that's good news. He wasn't awesome, though. 13 and 8 with a 3 and a steal. I talked about him at length yesterday. He's going to be fine, but he's not going to be a must-own guy at this point of the season. Evan Fournier, 13 points with a couple of steals. Brandon Jennings started, played 17 minutes. Ugh, there's the Skiles we love. 2 points with 3 assists, while Lord Alfred Payton played 31 off the bench and had 8 points with 6 assists and a block. Apparently, Payton will be starting soon, according to Skiles. I don't care if he starts, if he's playing 30 minutes. I just want to know when he's playing 30 minutes. But he only fits certain teams. If you're looking for points, you won't get them. If you're looking for steals and assists and good point guard rebounds, then you can get it off Payton. If you can deal with percentages, you need to look at him. But he, like Emmanuel Mudiay, is not a must-own guy. It depends on what you're looking at. Skiles' love affair with Andrew Nicholson has been rekindled. 13 and 6 with a 3 and a block in 15 minutes. Deep leagues, pay attention, and that is it. No Nick Vucevic, I reckon. We're going to be without him for a little bit more. Jay Smith, 6-3 and 2 in 27 minutes. On Vucevic, he can be dropped. If you're not getting games out of him this week and you don't have an IR, you can move on from him, as painful as it is. Dwayne Dedmon, 8-5 in 15 minutes, starting in place of Vucevic. The Celtics. Brad Stevens and the big men. It's happening again. Amir Johnson, 34 minutes, 11-11, 2 assists and 3 blocks. He was 5 of 6 from the field. He says he's feeling healthy again, and Stevens is running with him. This is very interesting development. This is something you need to look at now, and you can look at adding Johnson in a 12-team league if he's going to play 30 minutes or 28 or 27. There's risk associated with it because Stevens will not stick to a big man rotation. Whatever happens, he just will not stick to it. Jared Sullinger, who's been the best big man by far this season, played just 21 here. He had 5 and 3. Kelly Olynyk, who is a guy that you know that I'm a massive fan of Olynyk, he finally did what I've been hoping for him to do since coming back from that shoulder injury. 21 minutes, 22 points, 4 triples, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. He is one of their best players, and I know as dumb as it sounds, I am a massive Kelly Olynyk fan. I think he can be a real fantasy basketball game changer, and he can be a real NBA game changer if he just gets more playing time. He is a watch guy, as is Johnson. It depends on what stats you need. They both can be added. Avery Bradley backed up his strong game against the Sixers with another 22. He added 9 rebounds, so he is back in business. And Isaiah Thomas went 28, 5, and 7, while Evan Turner had 16, 5, and 4. And while Crowder's out, Turner is a smart add. Speaking of Marcus Smart, he went 3 and 3. Not good. He was also trying to beat Emmanuel Mudiay for most damage to the field goal percentage category. He went 1 of 11, exactly the same as Mudiay, and he is far from a must-own player. He can be owned, but he's not must-own at all. Milwaukee and Detroit, a huge buzzer-beating tip-in from Andre Drummond in this one. We'll start with the Bucks, though. Chris Middleton's minutes are definitely down. 32 minutes here, 30 in the last game. He was good, and he hasn't been this good for a while. 27 points, 4 assists, 2 threes, and a steal. 11 of 16 shooting is brilliant, and that's exactly what his owners want. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 21, 12, and 5, 2 blocks and a 3. It's like his assists have dried up to a degree. He's still been really good, but they've dried up somewhat. Greggy Monroe, his best game in 2016, 18 and 10, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 34 minutes. That's exactly what his owners were crying out for. My level of confidence being put in that is not all that high. I tweeted this out yesterday. I don't know if anyone agrees with me. I reckon Jason Kidd reminds me of Triple H. Can anyone see it? Maybe I'm crazy. He just reminds me of him. Anyway, Jabari Parker struggled. 5 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 blocks is still relatively useful, though. Jared Bayless, in his 37 minutes, had 5 points, added 6 assists, though. He is not a must-own guy. Johnny Henson, only the 1 block in 14 minutes, and this is more like Henson, not that 26-minute performance we saw the other day. That is not going to happen all that often. Miles Plumlee played 14 as well, and Tyler Ennis had 11 minutes for his 4 points. On the Pistons, Marcus Morris, 21, 3, and 4 with 4 triples, a steal, and a block. Ridiculous 8 of 9 shooting. That will not continue, obviously, but he is a guy you want to own. Andre Drummond, 14 and 16. No other stats, but the 16 rebounds are nice. And Reggie Jackson, not ideal. 9, 5, and 4 with a steal for him. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he couldn't keep his hot shooting going. 6 of 18, but did have 15 points, had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. So still some numbers. Toby Harris, 13 and 6. And Anthony Tolliver chimed in with 3 triples off the bench. He's a great deep league, a 3-point stream option, Tolliver. In a deep league, he's probably not even a stream. He's probably a guy that you want to hold on to. the Golden State Warriors and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Warriors get the victory, probably not as comfortably as they would have liked. Draymond played 37 minutes. He had 24, 9, and 6 with 3 steals and 3 blocks. Great percentages as well. Fantastic for his owners. Fantastic in DFS as well. Steph, 19, 7, and 11. 2 threes, 3 steals, and a block. 2 games in a row of really poor shooting from Steph. 6 of 17 from the field. And Klay Thompson went 17, 5, and 2 with 5 triples. Andy Bogut again. They started James Michael McAdoo in this one. He played 18 minutes and went 7 and 6. Mo Spates had 8 points in 13 minutes. Not much. The bench guys just offer really nothing. And speaking of offering nothing, Harry Barnes had 6 and 7 in his 31 minutes. The Timberwolves, talked about Rick Rubio, talked about Towns. Zachy LaVine, 19, 2 and 4, 2 triples and a steal. I was able to find him on a 10-team waiver wire last week and added him, so I was happy with that. Gorgui Dieng only played the 28 minutes. I think his hip is still bothering him. 8 and 7 with 2 steals and 2 blocks, but still producing the goods and should be owned. Or Andy Wiggins, just obliterated percentages, 8 of 21. That is such high volume. And he went 8 of 11 from the free throw line, which doesn't seem like it's bad, but it's bad on 11 attempts. It's impactful. It's not a good start. 21, 5, and 4 with a triple one is still pretty good counting stats-wise. And the bench not providing anything. Tyus Jones, nothing at all across the board. Shabazz Muhammad had 4 points. And Tayshaun Prince, he's back to getting minutes. 20 minutes, I don't know why. 4 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists. But at least it's not at the expense of Dieng or Levine, which was just completely ridiculous to start the season. The Kings and the Bulls, helps when you play the Bulls as a big man. Boogie Cousins, 35 minutes, 19 and 18. 3 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Fantastic. Darren Collison, 19, 4 and 4 with 4 triples. And played again over Rajon Rondo. 32 minutes for Collison, 31 for Rondo. Rondo went 14, 4 and 5. And I will stand by this, that Collison is the better player than Rondo and he's better for this team. This team does not see that, or maybe they're starting to now, but it is the case. Rudy Gay, 33 minutes, 18 and 5 with 3 triples. And Caron Butler, they dug up his corpse, dusted it off, played him 21 minutes, and he went 10 points with 3 steals. He is not going to have a huge amount of fantasy value, I'm guessing. Willie Cauley-Stein returned. He played 5 minutes. So thank you, George Karl, for prioritizing playing Willie Cauley-Stein, as you said, and then playing him 5 minutes. Jim Anderson started. For what reason, I've got no idea. 16 minutes for 2 points. Quincy Acey had 2 in his 11 minutes. Marco Bellinelli, Omri Caspi, nothing to like there. And they lost, shockingly enough. For the Bulls, Pau Gasol returned and had a minutes limit. He was going to play less than 25. He played 24 minutes and 35 seconds and went 14 and 14 with a steal and 3 blocks. That is fantastic. It is also not ideal if you're anticipating him to be out in this game, which everyone was, and then when you hear minutes limit, which he will apparently have for the next few games. So if you have locked him out of a weekly lineup, don't be too upset about it, because it's unlikely you go 14, 14, and 3 with a steal and 3 blocks in 25 minutes very often, and he's going to have 25 minutes for the next couple of games. Taj had 18 points. He added 4 steals and a block, so big numbers from Gibson. He will take somewhat of a hit when Gasol gets back up to his full minutes limit, but that won't happen this week, most likely. Jim Butler, 11, 3, and 8 with 5 steals, has not looked the same guy since returning from his knee problem, and Dougie McDermott had 16 points on the back of 4 threes, and shockingly enough, nothing else. Derrick Rose, 18, 5, and 4. Nick Mirotic was again, limited minutes, 21 minutes, 6, 3, and 2. 2 blocks and 2 triples. So still getting the stats done, but the minutes just aren't there. And Bob Portis went back down to 15, and he went 6 and 6 in that time. And obviously, he is not a must-own guy. And at this point, Mirotić isn't either, unfortunately. The Washington Wizards and the Atlanta Hawks. Johnny Wall, 27, 3, and 14. 3 triples, 2 steals. His ability to hit threes this season has been one of the hidden gems of the fantasy year. Brad Beal also had a great game, 25 points, 5 triples, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. If only he could stay healthy, we'd see a lot more out of him, I'm sure. And Otto Porter, 16 and 10, 2 threes, 2 steals, 1 block, really turning it around after a massive, massive subpar stretch to start this year. Marcin Gortat was announced earlier in the day that he was questionable with back issues. Well, he played 30 minutes, went 15 and 7. They are going to keep pushing him until his back falls off, or until they're out of the playoff race, so he's obviously still worth owning for that. And Markieff Morris, again a solid line, 14 and 7, 2 triples, 3 steals, 1 block, 27 minutes. I really do think that's ownable. The bench, not a lot. Jared Dudley, Garrett Temple, Ramon Sessions, Nene, Kelly Oubre. Nothing to write home about there. Al Horford, 14, 9, and 9. Two threes, three steals, and a block. Brilliant. Paul Millsap, not so good. 13 and 2 in only 28 minutes. The fouls did limit him. He had four fouls in that time, a steal and a block. But we've got to talk about Tim Hardaway, who is just turning it on at the right time. 6 of 8 shooting, 16 points, including 4 triples, 4 rebounds, and an assist. At this point, he is a stream option for points and for threes. It is not going to give you much more than that, but he's hot. The Hawks are loving what he's doing, and they're putting him out there, and you've got to take advantage of that, much like you have to look at Thabo. He had 5 and 8 here, a triple, 3 assists, 2 blocks, high field goal percentage. He has value in leagues if you know how to deploy him correctly. Jeff Teague had 23, 3 and 4. And Dennis Schroeder, 9 points and 2 assists. He is far... Please make sure you're not owning Dennis Schroeder at this point. He needs to be streamed through, as does Kent Bazemore. 6 points in his 21 minutes. Finally, he's just not good, and it's just sort of coming to fruition now. Interesting to see what happens with him in the offseason, but if the Bulls sign him for an extraordinary amount, I will not be impressed. Memphis at Phoenix. The Grizzlies just gutting out wins. I do not know how. Zach Randolph, 14 and... I know how, because they played the Suns. 14 and 13 for Zebo. A steal and a block. He's going to have big value down the stretch, as is Matty Barnes. 12 and 9 with 3 assists. Added 2 threes, a steal, and 2 blocks. He has to be owned everywhere. Tone Allen had 2 steals and a block to go with 12 points. He's a nice stream option. But I'll tell you what's an issue here. Lance Stephenson. Down to 22 minutes. 27 in the last game. He's not good. I don't think he's a good player. I've never thought he's been a really good player. And now that Jordan Farmer's here, Jordan Farmer is here, now that Ray McCallum is getting minutes, Stevenson's not going to play 35 minutes. And that, to me, does not mean that he has to be owned. Now, he's not a guy that I absolutely have to drop, but he's not great. And if he's going to consistently lose playing time like this, then there's no point. Now, Jordan Farmer was a guy I told you to look out for yesterday. 12 points in 23 minutes, 2 triples and a steal. He can be a tremendous fantasy asset. 23 minutes isn't going to cut it for 12-team leagues, but your 16-team leagues, get on him. Ray McCallum started, 9.7 assists and 2 steals. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be standard league relevant either. Well, Jermichael Green went 6-7 in his 22 minutes. His value as a standard league guy is pretty tenuous at this point. The Suns. PJ Tucker. Is he back? Don't know. 15, 4, and 2. 4 steals and 2 blocks. It sure looks like it from the last couple of games. So Tucker is someone that you can definitely add at the moment and see how it plays out. Johnny Lua, 13 and 13 with 3 blocks. I'm not sure that I really believe in that, but Tyson Chandler did leave this game with some back spasms, and that allowed Lua to play extra. They moved Alex Len back to center. He had 3 blocks. He went 9 and 6 in 28 minutes, and that means that Lua is going to get some power forward minutes. So he is going to be a guy to pay attention to in your deeper formats. I don't think he's going to be a 12-teamer just yet. Mirza Teletovic, 10 and 5. Brandon Knight, 13, 6, and 7 on a horrible 4 of 17 shooting. And Devin Booker had 18, 4, and 2 on equally horrible 5 of 13 shooting. At least Booker did hit a couple of threes as well to go with those 18 points. Obviously, if you picked up Tyson Chandler and then he's injured, you can move on from him. That is it for the games. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to preview Tuesday's action from a DFS point of view. I saw your picture today. Got me thinking about the things that I would say. But I know you're happy now in your someplace far away. Away, away, away. And I can't remember the way you taste, you taste, you taste. I walk down your old street, and I wonder if we'll ever meet again without a second. Bears games. There are four games on, so let's get stuck straight into those. The first one of those is the all-conquering Charlotte Hornets and the Brooklyn Nets. How interesting are the Hornets going to be in the playoffs, by the way? Really odd the way that they're... Not odd. I picked them to be a top four seed last season. That was terrible. They have bounced back tremendously this year and look really, really good at the moment. They're taking on the Nets here. I don't have any spreads available for any of these games at this point, which is a little bit weird, but we'll see what's going on there later. Point guards. Point guards do well against Charlotte. Don Sloan at 4,400. He has not been great, but he is averaging 22 across his last five, and he is a fine tournament option in his last five. I don't know if you'd believe this, but he has had a 40-point game. This is Donald Sloan, a 40-point game. He could have a big game here, so he is a tournament option. Kemba at 8,600 is way too expensive. He needs to go for 40, 43, 44 points to really give you value back, and I just don't trust it. Now, it's a good matchup here, but Kemba is in a slump. He's averaging just 28 across the last three. That is too expensive for my liking. No one else to really have a look at there, I don't think. Shooting guards. Jeremy Lin at 3,700. He dropped 39 today, which is obviously fantastic. Do you trust that to happen again? I wouldn't mind it in a tournament at 3,700. It's a very low salary, clearly, but it's not something that I'm going to be definitely trusting of. Courtney Lee at 3,800, though, I'm a little bit happier with. He's averaging 23 across his last three. Sub 4,000, you can get 6x value out of him. It's not a bad result. Wayne Ellington, Markel Brown, Sean Kilpatrick, all of those are shooting guards from the Nets. It's a terrible matchup going up against Courtney Lee, and they're terrible players, so there's no real interest in any of those guys. One of them might go off, and if I had to pick, it would probably be Kilpatrick, but I'm not all that interested. Small forwards, Nick Batum is at 8,000, and like Kemba, he's been good, but that is too expensive. Despite how good this matchup is, I don't want to spend 8,000 on Nick Batum. 5,200 for Bojan Bogdanovic. I'm more on board with that. He's averaging 33 across his last five. He has a somewhat off game in the last one, still put up 26. I think that 25 points is an easy play in target for Bojan here. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is probable. Now, you guys in standard leagues might be looking, oh, I need to go and add Rondae. Now, the thing is, I think he's going to be on a minutes restriction for a fair chunk of the rest of the season. He wouldn't have even approached 30 minutes anyway if fully healthy, and he doesn't score. He's going to give you steal numbers, he's going to give you out-of-position rebounds, and that's really going to be all that he gives you. So he is not someone to go and add as a must-own. He is a stream guy. Oh, I need steals. Maybe Rondae gets me two. That's about all he is at this point. So don't get overly excited for Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's return. He's been out for a very long time, and they've got no incentive to really rush him back. They need to get his feet back under him. Power forwards, Thad Young. I like him here. He's at 7,800. He's been dominant lately, averaging 42 across his last five. I think that he is a relatively safe play. His lowest score in his last five has been 36. On the other side, I like Cody Zeller. At 4,400, he dropped 29 today. He's been playing big minutes the last two games. He's had some pretty decent production. He's probably more of a tournament option, but I think that he can obviously go for 25 plus in fantasy points, and he's in play. Marvin Williams at 6,100 is too high. His production has been well down over the last week or so. As good a matchup as it is, 6,100 is too high. Frank Kaminsky, Thomas Robinson, not worth it. If Brook Lopez is still out with his illness, Willie Reed at 3,600 would be someone I'd definitely look at. He put up 23 in the last game with Lopez out. Now, Lopez at 8,000. Can he get to 40 points? He's got a massive chance to do it. It's not a tough matchup against the Hornets defensive-wise for centers, so he would be in play, but I'm not overly excited about using him. And Al Jefferson and Spencer Hawes, there is zero excitement in those guys. The next one is the Miami Heat and the New Orleans Pelicans. Talk coming out of New Orleans today that Ryan Anderson might be shut down as well. It wasn't exactly said that way from Elvin Gentry. I think they asked if it was a possibility, and he said maybe we'll see, or something along those lines, which would be just a massive pain in the ass. He has already been ruled out for this one, Ryan Anderson. At point guard, Goran Dragic is at 7,000. Nice matchup, 7,000, 35 points. Fine to use him. Tone Douglas is at 5,000. He is going to get 30 plus minutes. He dropped 35 in the last game. I wouldn't expect 35 again, but I would expect over 25. So I think Tone Douglas is worth looking at. Norris Cole, Obviously, if Cole is out, Douglas gets even more of a bump. I don't think I would want to use Cole, even if he played coming off that back issue. Well, Timmy Frazier at 3,800. If there's no Norris Cole, Frazier is averaging 28 over the last three. I don't care that the Heat are good against point guards. At 3,800, if he's going to play 25, 30 minutes, Frazier's been putting up big numbers, and he would definitely be a guy to look at. At shooting guard, Drew Holiday is now a shooting guard on FanDuel, if you're unaware. Not really sure why that is. He's at 7,700. He is going to get all he can eat at the moment. He dropped 35 in the last game. He should be close to a 40 in this game. Definitely love him. Dwayne Wade at 7,200. Not really giving you that value lately, so I'd fade him. And Joshy Rich, 4,400 for Josh, averaging 28 in the last three. He's been super red hot. Eventually it cools off. There's no doubt about that. But he can contribute in other areas, and he's playing minutes. And at 4,400, I think he's a pretty nice guy to look at. Small forwards, Justice Winslow at 4,200. He's not going to be worth a look. I don't mind Luke Babbitt, though. With no Ryan Anderson out, with Ryan Anderson out, 3,600 for Babbitt. He put up 22 in the last game. He's had a 33-point game in the last five. He's going to have to play minutes because they've got nobody, and he can produce. So Luke Babbitt is a very solid tournament option. Alonzo G at 3,500, he does nothing, so we can leave him alone. And Joey Johnson at 55 has been really good lately. Really, really solid. But 5,500 feels marginally high. But he's definitely not someone to completely write off, but I reckon you've got better options out there. Power forward, Luol Deng has been reassigned to be a power forward. Now he is at 6,200. Yeah, look, he's not going up against much in this one. So at 6,200, I think you can consider him, but I'm not sure that I'm going to be all over him at all. Amari, Dante Cunningham. Cunningham at 3,700. He dropped 30 in the last game. That is completely not what he's going to do often, but he is a tournament punt at that salary. At center, Omar Asik, we have to have a look at. He is at minimum salary. He is really bad, but he's at 3,800, and he put up 32 in the last game. He could grab 20 rebounds here, and that is enough to bring back his salary. So he is one of the best options on the board. And Hassan Whiteside could absolutely destroy this team. He's at 8,200, and yes, he struggled to reach 40 points, but I think that he is due for a massive game, and this could be the one. Kendrick Perkins, Alexi Ajinsa. I just want Ajinsa to get minutes, and if he does get minutes, he is going to be a great DFS option, but Alvin Gentry apparently hates him, and we have to take that into consideration. Houston at Oklahoma City. Let's look at the point guards here. Russ is one to look at. He is at 10,600. He has a real rivalry with Pat Beverly. Now, Beverly is really good defensive against point guards, but Westbrook at 10,600, I reckon you can spend up on Westbrook if you save your money at the other spots and use like a Luke Babbitt or an Omar Asik. You can get 50 out of Westbrook here. Pat Beverly at 5,000, nah, that feels too expensive for what he gives you. Shooting guards, Jim Harden. 10,400. Now, Harden is dealing with an ankle problem, which is not what we want to see, but this guy never misses time. He has said he won't miss here. Not concerned. I think that 45 to 50 points is not outrageous to expect from Harden in this one. Randy Foy at 3,600. He's averaging almost 20 across his last three. Fantastic, but his ceiling is so minimal. It's just if you want to squeeze a cheap shooting guard in, maybe you get 22 out of Randy Foy at 3,600, and that's enough value. Dion Waiters, Anthony Morrow, and Andre Robertson. No, thank you. Small forwards. Love these two guys. Kev Durant, 10,700. He's averaging 55 across the last three. Rockets bump. He doesn't even need the Rockets bump. This is great for Durant. And on the other side, he's one of his mates, Mike Beasley. He's at 4,800. He's averaging just under 30 points in the last three. He dropped 36 in the last game. JB Bickerstaff loves him. They're going to run with him. They're going to play him minutes. They're going to give him shots. At 4,800, you almost can't not use Beasley. Trev Ariza, 5,800. The salary's come down, but not enough for me. Corey Brewer, Kyle Singler, KJ McDaniels, they're not worth looking at. Power forwards, Serge Ibaka. Ibaka can't get to 30 minutes anymore. I think he's played 30 minutes once in the last five or six games. He's priced at 5,100, so the salary's come down tremendously. Now, does the Rockets bump, which is massive for power forwards, does it do enough to turn him around? He only needs to get 25 fantasy points to give you 5x value. 25. It's not much. He strikes me as an awesome tournament play. But that is it. And you have to realize that there is a massive chance he does nothing, but he could go off and drop 40. And at 5,100, that is going to be 8x value, and that is going to be tremendous. Donatas Motiejunas is less than 4,000. He's at 3,900. He is playing fantastically as well. He can play better, but I'm just not sure that his body is going to be able to allow him at this point. So that might make him a little bit of a risky play. Clint Capela, Montrezl Harrell, Nick Collison, Josh Smith, Terrence Jones, Mitch McGarry. No thanks. Centers. Enes Kanter, 5,400. Rockets bump, not needed for him either. He's a consistent 20. He's averaging 30 points over his last five. I don't know how he's doing it, but he's just going out there and grabbing a shitload of rebounds, scoring a lot, and doing it efficiently in limited minutes. 5,400 for him feels like a bargain. Dwight Howard is at 7,400. That's appealing to me. Now, Dwight's obviously coming off that Stickum incident where he won't be suspended, we'll find, which is good news for his fantasy owners. The Thunder have been really good at limiting opposition centers, though. So does that affect Dwight? 7,400 means that I probably don't want to use Howard in this matchup. Steve Adams at 45. Is a Rockets bump enough for him? There's better options. Memphis and the Lakers is the last game on the schedule. Byron Scott has come out in all his infinite wisdom and said, you know what, we're probably going to play the young guys in the last quarter now. Good on you, Byron. That should have been happening in November. Point guards. D'Angelo Russell, 6,600. Zero trust in being able to use him. Zero. But as a tournament punt, maybe it works against this Grizzlies team. Ray McCallum's at 3,700. He had 24 points in the last game. He's at 3,700. That's good. That's over 6x value. Do you think that he can do it again? I wouldn't be trusting it. Marcelo Huertas at 39. If Kobe's out, Huertas at 39 feels like a 20-point performer as well. So I think that he is in play there. Xavier Munford, no thanks. And Jordan Farmer, not available to roster yet. Shooting guards. Tone Allen at 4,700. Just a consistent 25-point performer at the moment. So that's, it's a real good matchup for him here. So I think that he is in play. Jordy Clarkson, 55, has been terrible recently. You'd have some pretty big balls and faith to go with him as a punt tournament option. Kobe, he won't play. He's questionable. He won't play. It's at home. Lou Williams at 53, he's been getting a lot of the ball. Now, I imagine that will drop somewhat, but at 5,300, my confidence in Lou Williams getting 25-plus points is relatively high. Lance at 7,000, there is zero chance I'm using Lance Stephenson at 7,000. It is almost as good a matchup as there can be, but the minutes are trending down, the production's trending down, so I will get off that train now. Small forwards, Matty Barnes at 64, all aboard Matt Barnes though. There is 35 points pretty easy here against the Lakers. He's got history with this team, he's got history with Kobe. Let's see. I think that this is a 35er for Barnes here as well. Vince Carter at 3,800. I reckon he's got a big game coming up in him here. So I think that as a tournament play, he's a great cheap option. Meta World Peace will replace Kobe if Bryant is out. So, well, even if he does, we don't care. Power forwards, Julius Randle, 5,900 for him. Zero trust again, much like Clarkson and Russell. But maybe the extra minutes work in his favor. Not a fan, but I think that 30 points is not crazy for him. Brandon Bass at 4,000. Yeah, probably not. Zebo at 69, love it. 36-point average across his last three. Another 35 today. You are going to be in that 35 region most of the time. So until his salary creeps over 7,000, he continues to be in play. Jermichael Green at 6,100 is not someone I want to use now. Nor is Ryan Hollins, and nor was he ever someone I wanted to use. At center, look at this group of guys. Roy Hibbert, Tariq Black, Robert Sacre. Let's just move straight on to the DFS picks of the day. At point guard, Tone Douglas, 5,000. Goran Dragic, 7,000. And Ross Westbrook, 10,600. Shooting guards, Joshy Richardson, 44. Lou Williams, 53. And Drew Holiday, 77. Small forwards, Mick Beasley, 48. Matty Barnes, 64. And Kev Durant, 10,700. The power forwards, Cody Zeller, 4,400. Zach Randolph, 69. And Thad Young, 78. And at center, Omar Asik, 38. Enes Kanter, 54. And Hassan Whiteside, 8,200. We are done today, guys, and today's podcast, remarkably quick. I'm not really sure why that went so fast, but some of you will love it, some of you will probably be disappointed. I apologize, and if that's the case. Follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at redrock_bball. Of course, Basketball Monster is at Bask Monster. Follow along that Twitter handle. And Hardwood Paroxysm has some great stuff, as always, coming out every day of the week. So make sure you're checking out all the podcasts on Hardwood Paroxysm and all of the articles. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.